All right, if you want to keep your Bibles open at Luke 24, we'll be coming back to that in a sec. Just before I begin, I'm going to pray, so please pray with me. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this chance to gather together, and we thank you for your word, the Bible, and all that it teaches us about Jesus. Please help me now, Lord, to explain your word truthfully and clearly, and help all of us, Lord, to respond to Jesus as he deserves. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, over the last 6 weeks, we have been considering the Jesus people met. And as we've done that, we've seen that Jesus is a remarkable figure. He was a great teacher. He did amazing miracles. He lived a perfect life. He loved and he welcomed people who the rest of his society rejected. And in all of that, we've seen that Jesus is the Christ, that he's God's King, God the Son. As Tim mentioned last week, we looked at the death of Jesus, and we saw that Jesus' death was the climax of his plan. Jesus died in our place. But, as we highlighted last week, that was not the end for Jesus. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And that's what we're going to focus on this evening, Jesus' resurrection. On June the 8th, 632 AD, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, died. And ever since, Muslims have been visiting his tomb. Gautama, the Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, died around 485 BC. In January 1924, Lenin, the creator of the Soviet Communist Party, died. And if you go to Russia, if you go to Red Square today, you can see his embalmed dead body. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Lenin is dead. But the astonishing claim of Christianity is that Jesus is alive. He died on the cross, but 3 days later he rose from the dead. That's what we want to think about together tonight. And in particular, I want us to think about the significance of Jesus' resurrection. What difference does it make to us that Jesus rose from the dead? But before we get to that, there's something else that we need to do first. There are, of course, some people who are skeptical about Jesus' resurrection. Perhaps even some people here tonight find it hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And so before we look at the significance of Jesus' resurrection, I just want to look very briefly at some of the evidence for Jesus' resurrection. There is, in fact, a great deal of historical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Tonight, we're just going to look very briefly at three bits of evidence that we find in Luke chapter 24. So if you open up to Luke chapter 24, page 1047, here are three bits of evidence for Jesus' resurrection. First, Exhibit A, there is the empty tomb. Again and again in Luke 24, Luke makes clear that Jesus' tomb was empty. So when the women with their spices get to the tomb to embalm Jesus' body, it's not there because the tomb is empty. They go back, they tell the other disciples. The disciples don't believe them, but Peter runs to the tomb to check it out for himself. And when he gets there, the tomb is empty. Later on that same day, as the two men are walking on their way to Emmaus, they are talking together about the empty tomb. Again and again, Luke makes clear that the tomb was empty. He wants his readers to know that Jesus' tomb was empty. And in fact, even without Luke's gospel, even without any of the gospels, we can know that Jesus' tomb was empty. As I've said before, if Jesus' body was still in the tomb, then Christianity would never have gotten off the ground. Because as soon as the early Christians started to claim that Jesus had risen from the dead, all the authorities would have had to do was point people to Jesus' body in the tomb, and that would have been the end of Christianity. But they didn't do that. Because they couldn't. Jesus' body wasn't there. The tomb was empty. Here is the first piece of evidence for Jesus' resurrection, the empty tomb. Now, how do we explain that? How do we explain the empty tomb? Jesus' disciples, the followers of Jesus, they can't have stolen the body. It was guarded by soldiers. And besides, why would they want to? Jesus' enemies wouldn't have stolen the body. And even if they had, as soon as the Christians started to talk about Jesus rising from the dead, they just would have produced Jesus' body and Christianity would have come to a crashing halt. No, the only explanation that explains the empty tomb that fits with all the evidence is the explanation that we find in Luke 24, verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. That's why the tomb was empty, because Jesus rose from the dead. Well, the second piece of evidence for Jesus' resurrection in Luke 24 is that after his death, Jesus appeared again alive to people. People met the risen Jesus. The two men on their way to Emmaus walk along the road with Jesus. Now, they are kept from recognizing him at first, but when they do finally recognize him, they rush back to the other disciples to tell them what's happened. And when they get there, they find the other disciples already talking about Jesus. Look with me at verse 33, Luke 24, verse 33. They, that's the two men, got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." People met the risen Jesus. Now, we see it here in Luke 24, and we see it elsewhere in the New Testament. People met the risen Jesus. They talked with him. They touched him. They ate with him. And they are witnesses to the fact that Jesus rose physically, bodily, from the dead. Well, there's one final piece of evidence for Jesus' resurrection here in Luke 24, and that is the change, the transformation that takes place in the disciples. At the start of the chapter, Jesus' disciples are grieving because of Jesus' death. The women, they go to the tomb with spices. They're not expecting Jesus to rise. They're expecting to embalm his dead body. When they go back to tell the disciples that Jesus has risen, the disciples don't believe them. They think it's nonsense. And then the two men walking along the road to Emmaus, they are in grief. Look with me at verse 17, chapter 24, verse 17. Jesus asks them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And then Luke tells us, they stood still, their faces downcast. These men, they were downcast when Jesus died. His disciples were grieving, and they were afraid, and they were disbelieving. But now, look with me at the end of Luke chapter 24. Look with me at verse 50. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. What a change! What a transformation has taken place. And if you read on into the book of Acts, you see these same disciples boldly declaring that Jesus had risen from the dead. These men, they had been radically changed. They had gone from being afraid and grieving and disbelieving. They had become men who were rejoicing and who at the risk of their own lives were boldly proclaiming that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, friends, how do you explain that change? The only explanation that fits with all the evidence is that they had met the risen Jesus. That's what changed them. Jesus rose from the dead and they met him. Friends, there's plenty of historical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. This is no myth. It's not a fairy tale. This is an historical event. If you're here this evening and you're someone who finds it hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, can I encourage you to check out the evidence for yourself? There's plenty of great books have been written on the evidence for Jesus' resurrection. If you want to read one of those books or you want to ask a question, please come and speak with me after 6:45 tonight. Well, we've seen that Jesus' resurrection happened. But what difference does that make to us? That's what I want to spend the rest of our time together on this evening. What difference does Jesus' resurrection make to us? And I want to suggest it makes a massive difference. I want to highlight five reasons why Jesus' resurrection makes a massive difference for us. First, By rising from the dead, Jesus proved that he was the Son of God. If you've been here over the past few weeks, you'll know Jesus has made some astonishing claims about himself. Jesus claimed that he was the way and the truth and the life. Jesus claimed that he was able to forgive sin. Jesus claimed that he was one with the Father. They are astonishing claims. But by rising from the dead, Jesus proved that those claims were true. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes Jesus as the one who was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection shows us who he is. There's a story about a famous artist. I suspect this is just an urban myth. Anyhow, the story goes like this. Apparently, this artist was out one day and the police stopped him at the train station and asked him for identification. Now, this great artist, he didn't have any identification with him. And so he pulled out a blank piece of paper and a pencil, and then he drew a perfect circle to prove that he was the great artist that he was saying he was. Now, as I say, I suspect that's just a story, but it's a helpful illustration. That artist proved who he was by drawing a perfect circle. And Jesus proved who he was by rising from the dead. Jesus' resurrection shows us that he is the Lord, the Son of God. Well, a second reason why Jesus' resurrection really matters is that by rising from the dead, Jesus demonstrated that his death in our place was effective. Last week, when we talked about Jesus' death, we talked about how Jesus died in our place to take the punishment that we deserve, that you and I deserve. Jesus died to pay the penalty that we owe. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead is like the receipt for that payment. It's the proof that that debt has been paid in full. Now, friends, let me ask you a question. Do you know for certain that you are going to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Well, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead so that you can know that for sure. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we can be certain that if we trust in him as our King and Savior, our sins are forgiven, our debt is paid, and we are saved. That's why Jesus' resurrection matters. Well, a third reason why Jesus' resurrection really matters is that by rising from the dead, Jesus proved that death is not the end, that he has defeated death, he has power over death. One of the tragedies of death is that it seems so permanent. It seems so irreversible. That's why we grieve death, isn't it? That's why we fear death, isn't it? But by rising from the dead, Jesus has shown that death is not the end. It is not permanent. It is not irreversible. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." Friends, by rising from the dead, Jesus has won a victory over death. And if we trust in him as our King and Savior, we will share in that victory. We may still die, but we won't be lost to death, because death is not the end. Jesus was the first to be resurrected from the dead, but because of what he did, he was the first of many. If we trust in him, then one day we too will rise from the dead to live forever with him. I heard a great story once about a missionary in Brazil. He came across a tribe in the jungle who lived near a big river. The tribe was in desperate need of medical attention. Basically, every day, people from the tribe were dying from a contagious disease. The missionary knew that there was a hospital that might be able to help just on the other side of the river, but the tribe refused to cross the river. They were afraid. They thought the river was full of evil spirits. And so the missionary took the tribe down to the river, and he put his hand into the water, and he said, "Look, it's safe. We can cross the river." But they wouldn't believe him. And so he got into the water and he stood in the river with the water up to his waist. And he said, it's safe. We can cross over. But they wouldn't believe him. And so finally, he dived into the river and he swam over to the other side. And when he got out on the other side, the tribe began to cheer. And then they followed him across the river. They no longer feared the river because they'd seen the missionary cross it and survive. And friends, that is like what Jesus has done for us. As we are confronted by death, Jesus goes first. He faces death and he comes through it to show us that it can be done, that we need not fear death. Friends, that's why Jesus' resurrection matters, because it is the proof that death is not the end, that Jesus has defeated death, and that if we trust in him, we too will one day rise from the dead to live forever. A fourth reason why Jesus' resurrection really matters is that Jesus' resurrection from the dead means that he is alive now. You see, Jesus didn't rise from the dead to die again later on. Jesus rose from the dead to live forever, and so he is alive now. He is alive today. Jesus is not a figure from history. He's not just words on a page. Jesus is alive today, and that means we can know him. We can have relationship with him. At the end of Luke's gospel, I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus describes his disciples as witnesses of his death and resurrection. These are people. They had seen Jesus live, they'd seen him die, and they'd seen him live again. And a couple of them, Matthew and John, wrote down what they had seen. Others told Luke what they had seen, and he wrote it down. And friends, we have those written accounts of Jesus' life in the gospels. And when we read them, we meet Jesus. Jesus is alive now, and we meet him in his word. So let me ask you, have you met Jesus? If you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a living relationship with Jesus, can I urge you to read the Gospels and meet Jesus? Jesus is alive now. And so we can have relationship with him. In fact, Jesus himself promised us that if we trust in him, he is with us always by his Spirit to the end of the age. Well, there's one final implication of Jesus' resurrection that I want to highlight, and that is that one day Jesus is coming back. As many of you no doubt know, Luke actually wrote a sequel to the gospel. It's the book of Acts. And Luke begins his sequel with the story of Jesus' ascension, the same story that we find at the end of the Gospel of Luke. It's sort of like a bit of a recap of what's happened in the previous book. But in the book of Acts, Luke gives us a bit more detail. This is what he writes in Acts chapter 1. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They, that's the disciples, were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, dressed in white, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Friends, one day, Jesus is going to come back. He's not dead. He is alive. And one day he is going to come back. We don't know when, but we know it is going to happen. And the Bible is very clear. When he comes back, he's going to come back to judge the world. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching in Athens, and he says this: God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Friends, we have not seen the last of Jesus. One day, Jesus is going to come back. Can I ask you, are you ready for that? When Jesus came the first time, he came as a tiny baby. When he comes again, he's going to come as a conquering king. He's going to come to judge the world. Are you ready for that? The Bible warns us to be ready. And the Bible tells us that we can be ready by living with Jesus as our King and Saviour. He is the King and the Saviour. But we need to acknowledge that ourselves in our own lives. One day, Jesus is coming back. It might be today. Are you ready for that? Well, as we come to the end of our series on Jesus, I wonder, where is Jesus in your life? Christianity is all about Jesus. Christianity, it's not a philosophical system. It's not all about abstract ideas. And Christianity is not a moral code. It's not all about rules and regulations. Christianity is all about Jesus. And so there is one thing that Christianity cannot be. Christianity cannot be of moderate importance. If Christianity is not true, if Jesus is not who he says he is, then Christianity is not important at all. In fact, it's a complete farce. On the other hand, if Christianity is true, if Jesus is who he says he is, then Christianity is all important. And so the one thing that Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Recently I heard a Christian guy talking about a form that he had to fill in. It was like a survey, had a whole lot of questions asked him about himself. One of the questions was about his hobbies and his interests. What are your hobbies and interests? And then it listed down a whole lot of options and you could tick what your hobbies and interests were. And one of the options that was listed there was religion. It was between photography and snorkeling. Friends, I suspect that's how a lot of people think about Christianity. That it's just a hobby. Like photography or snorkeling. What a tragedy. Christianity is not a hobby. It's not just something we squeeze in between everything else. It's not just something that we play with on the weekend. Christianity is about following Jesus. And so that is all important because Jesus is God's King. He's God the Son. He is the greatest teacher who ever lived. He did amazing miracles. But more than that, he died on the cross in our place and he rose from the dead. And one day he is coming back to judge the world. And so following him is not a hobby. It is what life is all about. Friends, as we finish this series on Jesus, let me ask you, is Jesus just a hobby for you? Or is Jesus your King and your Saviour? Jesus is the King and Saviour, but is he your King? Is he your Saviour? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you would leave heaven to be born, to live and to die in our place. And we praise you that you rose from the dead, defeating death forever, so that we can have that sure and certain hope of eternal life. Lord Jesus, please help us to treat you as King and Saviour, to treat you in a way that you deserve. And we pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen.
We're going to spend a bit more time praying now. Colin, can you pop that?